You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is up? Man, we won a game, and that is pretty cool, pretty cool. Eddie Pascal, your host of Upon Further Review, episode 11. And like I said, our first victory episode. And what a blessing it is. Winning is just better, man. I mean, you stand a little bit taller the next day. You're probably a little bit better looking. You know, the sun shines just a little bit brighter. You take note of all those little things, those little beautiful moments in life that maybe you don't think of after an L, but life is good, brother. Life is good. Now, do we have a lot still to be done in this season? Absolutely. But winning in the NFL is hard. I'm telling you, you must relish the victories. So that's what we're going to do for a little bit today before we completely shift gears to the mighty Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday. But let's just go back real quick. 45-42, overtime win against the Browns. And my goodness, a lot to get into. So we'll just do the quick overview. Down 14 in the second half, looking bleak, not looking good. But then, as things tend to do, the momentum shifted, and bada bing, bada boom, Derek throws for over 400 yards. Marshawn runs for 130. Jared Cook rises up in the biggest moments, as he tends to do. We'll hear more from Jared in just a second, by the way. Shameless plug. But Jordy Nelson comes down with a clutch two-point conversion. We head to overtime, baby. OT, when 60 minutes isn't enough. Let's play 10 more. Only took 8 1/4, but you get the deal. Matt McCrane, the youngster, the West Texas Cowboy, ends up making a clutch 29-yard field goal to give us the victory after, you know, missing two field goals earlier in the day. So big shout-out to Matt McCrane for compartmentalizing and getting down to business and knocking that one in when it mattered the most. But man, that was when we needed that W. And I think, truthfully, we've talked a bunch over the past quarter of the year about how we want to see a complete 60-minute ball game from the Raiders and how close they were those first couple weeks. I mean, obviously leading in the fourth quarter and literally down to the final seconds of the fourth quarter and in some cases. And you know, we kept saying, and you kept tweeting saying, I don't care, but we said it nonetheless. This team is close, very close. Now, was Sunday's game perfect? Certainly not. Come on, 42 points, regardless of how they came, is not where you want to be at. 3 touchdowns that you surrender 40 or more yards, not where you want to be at. But I have to say this, in the biggest moments, when the silver and black needed a 3-and-out, when Paul Gunther's defense needed to rise as one and get the ball back to DC and the boys, they did it. They 100% did it. Not the prettiest game. I don't think anyone's going to tell you it was the prettiest game, but a win is a win is a win, and it was a blessing. The vibe around here is just, I wish we could paint a better picture of how different this place is after a win compared to a loss. I mean, after a win, it's, like I said, the celebration is on. A measured celebration, of course, still sitting at 1-3. I get it. But, I mean, the energy is just so much better. It's a lot busier, but it's a good busy. But hopefully we get another one next Monday. Hopefully next Monday is another busy one for us, too. But that's going to be a heck of a ball game, too. Traveling down to StubHub Center, taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. Los Angeles Chargers, who, you know, kind of similar to us. I don't know if they really are indicative of what their record shows. I don't know. We'll see. Time will tell. But whenever you get the Raiders and the Chargers together, it's always a big game. It's one of those classic AFC West rivalries that we talk so much about. But it's a good game, man. It's a lot of fun. You get to see Phil Rivers doing his thing out there, throwing the ball around, freaking out, doing all that, and it's exciting. So Sunday's going to be a big game. It's an exciting one. But kind of like I said earlier, winning in the NFL is hard. It is. There's 16 games. And winning any game, whether it's at home, whether it's on the road, neutral site, I don't care where it is. It is hard, man. It's hard to win a football game. So that said, I bring in our first guest this week on Upon Further Review, a man who, yet another dominant performance, really. 8 catches for 110 yards and 2 scores. Number 87 for the Silver and Black, Jared Cook. So, Jared, like I said a second ago, it's hard winning in the NFL. So, do you do anything different following a big win compared to, I don't know, maybe a loss?
Yeah, I go out with, like, friends for dinner. Okay. You know, maybe go have a couple of drinks, but that's really about it. It was finally good to get the first win, though, and actually be able to celebrate it because the past few weeks I ain't been able to celebrate too much. So it was good to get out with some friends.
Is the dinner a little nicer after a win than after a loss? Or?
Heck yeah, you got to get you a steak. You got to eat right, especially when it's not too late and the only thing that's open is In-N-Out.
Yeah.
You feel me? You gotta go get something good in the stomach.
So if you hit In-N-Out after a game, though, those primetime games?
Absolutely. Or when you get back super late, it's the only thing open.
That's true. Until 2 a.m.
Yeah.
What's the In-N-Out order? What's the Jared Cook?
Man, so I get a double-double with cheese, and then I get the fries with light cheese. Animal style, light cheese, though. Because, you know, like, sometimes when you get the animal style fries, they just throw a slice of cheese on top of
it. It's not even melted, really.
You feel me?
Yeah, man. It's like, you know, they're trying to get out of there, too. And they're like, all right, this will get the job done.
It's like you're back in elementary school and you want some cheese fries. You throw a slice of cheese on top of some fries and throw it in the microwave real quick. It's like the hood fries, man.
Dude, you've been so effective catching the ball your entire career. But the past, you know, year now, a year and, 4 weeks since you've been here, it seemed to kind of gone to another level. What are the good characteristics of a good pass-catching tight end?
Just somebody that knows their job, their role, and just knows what to do in all situations. On the tight end position, a lot is required. We probably know the most next to the quarterback out there on the field. So you always have to have your antennas up. You always have to be ready forever for the quarterback to get checked, for him to check the play to whatever. So. Always have to have your antennas up and be ready for whatever. And you always have to be able to run great routes and be able to haul the ball in. Because a lot of those times, you know, when we have a safety or a linebacker on us, it's tight coverage and it's tight windows in the middle of the field. So you got to be able to get open and you got to be able to have strong hands to catch the ball.
I mean, you talked about hauling in the ball. And since you've gotten to Oakland, it seems like the ball is kind of in your vicinity and that thing's sticking to you. I mean, do you have better hands now than when you were a rookie, you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
So is that something that guys can kind of grow into? They can become better pass catchers? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. I just think you can get better at anything. It's all about perfecting your craft and working on it, doing the small things that are going to get you better and make those small improvements that are just going to set yourself apart from everybody else.
I mean, from week one to last week, it seems that the offense is just getting, it seems like each week, just getting more and more comfortable. Derek looks more comfortable with the line. I mean, without going to, you know, X's and O's for us, I mean, how different is what you guys are doing this year compared to, say, a year ago?
It's a lot different. It's a lot more motions. It's a lot more on you mentally in this offense because Coach Gruden requires a lot from guys. And it's a lot of guys being moved in different positions. So you have to be able to adjust. You have to be able to learn on the fly and be able to know different positions out there on the field, which is tough.
So obviously a big win last weekend against the Browns, a win we desperately needed. Now, divisional game in L.A., obviously when you take a look at their defense, I mean, what really stands out to you just kind of off the top?
They got good pass rushers. I mean, in Bosa and in Melvin. They got a good secondary. And Derwin James and Casey Harrell, and they fly around to the ball a lot. Got those guys playing really well right now. So we just got to make sure that we go out and do our job and take care of our business.
And on the other side of the ball, 38-year-old Antonio Gates.
Yeah, man.
Still balling.
Came back for what, 15?
I think so. Either 15 or 16. You're 31, right?
Yeah.
You got another 7 years left in you?
We got to take that a year at a time. We got to take that one a year at a time, boss.
I mean, seriously, those guys, like, you know, you look at him and Wood when he was here, who are playing into their late 30s. I mean, as a guy who's played this game, do you kind of just stop and like, man, you're how old and still just balling out? Or?
Yeah, man. Every time I look at somebody who's been in for that long, it's just like, man, like, first of all, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's definitely a blessing. But just to see those guys to be able to form and outdo guys that are like 15 years their junior, right? So that's incredible to me. You're able to play this game at 35 plus years old and you're still out there to be able to beat young guys that are half your age is pretty awesome.
I mean, obviously going down to LA, and they're kind of in that weird position a little bit where they're playing at StubHub Center, obviously while they're working on their forever home, but it's kind of a funky vibe down there, right? I mean, it's pretty cool, but you're playing in a soccer stadium. When you think back on your career playing football, is there like a weird kind of stadium that stands out to you? It's like, oh man, we played a game here and it was like, ah, it was kind of a little bit different.
Whenever I go back to Foxborough, like whenever I go back to the Patriots, my rookie year we played them and we got beat like 59-7, bro. And it was in the snow. And Randy Moss and Tom Brady, we down by like 30 and they still throwing bombs, like 40-yard bombs down the field. Randy Moss catching one-handed post TD grabs in the back of the end zone in the snow. And we're just like over there freezing our butts off like, is this real right now? So it's memories like that where you just got thrashed and it's just a bad environment that you're like, I do not want to go back to this place.
And that was the year where Randy Moss was literally like unstoppable,
yes,
where he was 57 years old, still beating DBs by 10, 15 yards, man.
Yeah, just running right past people. And then, you know, they're used to the snow. I was playing in Tennessee at the time. We're not used to playing in snow. So they're just, we're all nice and they're just out there just skating right past us, man. It was pretty crazy.
So one of the reasons we wanted to have you on the podcast, and we've talked about this a handful of times.
Yeah.
One, good dude. Two, you balled out the other day.
Preach.
But three, the voice. The voice is a voice for audio. It is, I mean, come on, man. You got that silky baritone. You got it all. So
silky.
That silky baritone. So we had this idea. Because we've talked about having you do some voiceover stuff for us before.
Yeah.
I got three VOs I want you to read.
Okay.
First one is the classic, like, in a world, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
we got
yeah.
that one. When we have the opening scene to The Lord of the Rings, where they're talking about the One Ring and all that jazz. And then the third one, I'll surprise you, but I think it's very fitting for you.
All right.
So here's the first one. I got them highlighted for you.
I ain't even work on this.
I know, man. We're going to put you on the spot, but it's going to be good. So the first one is Dan LaFontaine's, like, the OG voiceover guy, the universe script. There you go.
All right. Y'all ready?
We're ready.
Throughout history, man has marveled at the vast complexity of the universe. Without a single unified voice, humanity has been left searching for answer to the unknown. Now, one man has the power to change that and spread his voice across the earth for all mankind to hear. One man, me.
Oh. That's good. All right, second one, Lord of the Rings.
All right. Opening monologue to The Lord of the Rings. It began with the forging of the great rings. Three were given to the elves, immortal, wisest, and fairest of all beings. Seven of the dwarf lords, great miners and craftsmen of the mountain halls. And nine of the rings were given to the race of men, who above all else desire power. For within these rings was bound the strength and would be governed each race. But they were all of them deceived, for another ring was made deep in the land of Mordor. In the fires of the Mount Doom, the Dark Lord Sauron forged the Master Ring in secret, and into this ring he poured cruelty, his malice, his will to dominate all life, one ring to rule them all.
All right, and what's the last one?
Is this Dos Equis?
This is the Dos Equis one.
The new Dos Equis man is Coach Spurrier, which is hilarious to me.
Is it really?
Yeah, bro. Let's get some Dos Equis.
Hang on, real quick. Spurrier's a Dos Equis guy?
Yeah, bro. Oh. He's the new Dos Equis guy. How funny is that?
Oh, shoot. All right.
All right, the most interesting man in the world. His blood smells like cologne. His hands feel like rich brown suede. His charm is so contagious, vaccines have been created for it. Alien abductors have asked him for a probe them. When it's raining, it is because he is thinking about something sad. Years ago, he built a city out of blocks. Today, over 600,000 people live and work there. The police often question him just because they find him interesting. Every time he goes for a swim, dolphins appear. His organ donation card also lists his beard. He is the most interesting man in the world.
And Jerry Cook, you are our most interesting man in the world. Thank you for hanging out with us, man. We appreciate you, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks for hanging with us, bro.
I appreciate y'all having me, man. That was fun.
All right. Jerry Cook, our guest this week on Upon Further Review.
That's dope.
And, man, big shout-out to our guy, Jerry Cook. That was a lot of fun, man. Okay, so we've told you from the jump, this podcast is going to be many things to many people. And that said, we're going to talk to a bunch of different people. Will everything we do remain loosely based in football? Emphasis on loosely based? Absolutely. But we're going to get people from all over the Raider Nation, from all over the world, to talk about stuff that we want to talk about. So we're throwing a curveball at you. I hope you like it. We recently got a chance to sit down with Sib Scholes, who you probably see on the E! Network. I know you guys watch. It's okay. I do too. But she's a huge Raiders fan, is a really, really interesting person, a really charismatic lady. And so here, I guess without further ado, here it is, our conversation with Sib Scholes. So we are super fired up. We got a little different flavor today, huh, Travi? We got Sib Scholes, our entertainment correspondent, our resident all things entertainment. And we were talking about this earlier, Trav, where on this podcast, we hit everything, right? As long as we can talk Raiders football in some way, shape, or form, we are here to talk everything. So, Sib, we bring you in. Thank you so much for taking some time for us. So my first question for you, how did you become a fan of the Silver and Black?
I basically was born into the Silver and Black blood, okay? My family, just sports fans all around. My mom and dad actually met at an Oakland A's game. But they're just diehard Oakland Raiders fans. I've been around sports all my life. Again, like I said, I was born into it. So I'm just obsessed. Every fan that you know of the Raiders, like yourself, it is so much more than a team. It's a family, and it just feels good to be a part of it. So it's definitely come from the parents. And my sister and I are lucky enough to be able to say we're from the Bay, we're Raiders fans, and Raiders fans till we die.
That's what's up, Raider Nation for life. So,
yes.
In following your Twitter feed, which you can follow Sib at Sib_vicious on Twitter.com, we were watching the feed, and you were like one of those people who like actually like tweets the game. Like, you're not here to pretend that you're a Raiders fan. Like, you're here giving the business to the refs, like all of that. Like, you're in it to win it, huh?
I'm definitely in it to win it because it's so frustrating, especially being a female going to these games, even with basketball, football, whatever I'm watching. A lot of people are not watching it for the sport. They don't even know what they're watching half the time. So a lot of people will come at me on Twitter and say, no. And then I got to hit them with the facts because I do watch the game. I love it. Last week when I was watching, I literally almost broke my foot jumping up and down watching the game. Like, I'm in it. I'm in it all the way. And I love tweeting people. I love hearing everyone else's reactions. But it feels good, too, because you get a lot of people who are fans. And they want to get in on the tweeting as well.
That's right. I mean, that's what we talk about all the time, where Twitter's that great place where everyone can come together. They can be happy, sad, angry. They're all watching the same thing, right? So it's just one big conversation.
No, it's a good time. I love Twitter for that. And it's the quick, fast, easy, and you get responses, and it's great.
So let me ask you this. You said you were watching the game on Sunday, a win for the Silver and Black, a much-needed win over Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. So have you ever, because we were talking about this earlier, have you ever seen a football player play and run the way that Marshawn Lynch does?
No, you know, going back to Twitter, I tweeted, I had said something like, I said, Marshawn is the man. He's still out there going and giving it his all. He wants this. That man has the name Beast Mode for a reason. He's entertaining to watch, whether he's dancing, going dumb, and getting heisty on the sidelines, or if he's just in that game. I mean, even when he takes that helmet off and he puts on that Raider beanie, it's like he just has this demeanor about him. He's fun to watch. He makes you enjoy football because a lot of people can be his size or, you know, be very skilled, but they're not going out there with the passion that he has. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about earlier, and it's like, I don't know if there's another guy out there like Marshawn. I don't know if we're ever going to see another Marshawn again once he hangs it up. But so we're headed off to L.A., your neck of the woods on Saturday for this game against the Chargers. And I think every time that we travel to LA, I guess anytime we travel in general, it's always really crazy to us. And I think it's kind of, we've just gotten used to it a little bit. But there are so many Raiders fans wherever we go, whatever city. We go to Florida, we go to Denver, Kansas City. It doesn't matter. There's always fans of the silver and black. And L.A. is kind of that, the mecca of that. Where when we show up at the stadium on Sunday morning, it's going to be at least 50% Raiders fans. So have you, being in L.A., being as familiar with the city as you are, is L.A. still a little bit of a Raiders town?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have group chats from old coworkers. We still keep in touch. You may not see each other, but whichever game it is that week, if the Raiders are playing, we're on it. And if we can get to a bar, wherever we could go, we're hitting each other up back and forth. And you see Raiders jerseys, hats everywhere. Obviously, the Raiders are out here in L.A., so there's a lot of those L.A. fans still wanting their Raiders fixed. So it's good. And honestly, when the Chargers were in San Diego, my sister and my cousin and I used to put on the war paint, and we go out there, and that stadium will be packed with Raider fans.
Well, I mean, we got to get you out to a game then, coming up here pretty soon. We got to get you out and to see some a full Raiders 60 minutes football.
Exactly. I'm trying to get there this weekend. So if I can get there, I will be there. But either way, if I'm not in person, I will be watching the game and tweeting.
There you go. So, question for you. So, like you said, you're watching all the games, you're tweeting. So, when you look at the first four games, 1-3, not necessarily where we obviously want to be, right? But we talked about Marshawn. Are there any other players who really stood out to you and like, all right, this guy, I know the wins might not be there right now, but this guy's really playing well?
You know what? And I was talking to my sister about this. She said, Cook, the tight end.
All right.
You know, he's really proving himself this season. We're only 1-3. We needed that win. But the previous three games before that, I mean, to have a tight end like that, when Carr's arm is strong and he gets those passes to him, it's great. I think he's really out there. He's proven himself. I love Amari Cooper, obviously. He's great. But again, passion, having that drive, it's just, for me, my MVP right now is Marshawn, just because he's in it.
So speaking of Marshawn, you've interviewed tons of people, tons and tons of very famous, very high-profile people. Marshawn is an elusive interview. So if you were going to interview the Beast, if you got him, you know, on the red carpet or wherever he was for a couple minutes, how do you break the ice with Marshawn? Like, do you try to make him laugh? Like, what would be your game plan in interviewing Marshawn?
Honestly, I've covered the SB so many times, and I've covered the NFL honors and things like that, and I've not talked to him yet. I definitely feel as though, because I'm from the Bay, it'd just be chill. It'd be like anybody else that I interview. I think Marshawn's not trying to be with the antics. He's himself. You're not going to change him regardless of how you start the interview. I definitely wish, if I did interview him, it'd be on a field, because I'd ask him to show me a route. Run a route with me real quick. I think I'd just try to get physical with him, or, you know, drop something about one of the games that he had and just let him know that I'm not just a person interviewing him. I'm also a fan.
Yeah, like, you know, you're not trying to pretend to be something you're not. Like, you know what you're talking about.
Exactly. And I do that with any interview that I have. I definitely want to have people make sure that they're comfortable and they're safe with me. I'm not trying to get too invasive. I need to do my job at the end of the day, but I also want to have fun with the person and just get to know them beyond the fluff.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great lesson for everyone who interview people. Just it's a conversation, right? So we talk about Marshawn as a guy who's a challenging interview, right? When you look back and all the people that you've talked to, who are like some of the people you're like, oh man, like that was a challenge. Like, I'm glad I did it and it turned out really well, but maybe going into it, you're a little apprehensive.
Okay, so one, and I was really looking forward to this interview, Denzel Washington.
Oh,
it was the first time.
yep.
He's the man, you know. I know words to all these movies that I watch of his. Yeah, I'm a big fan, and I was so excited. A little nervous, not going to lie. And working where I was at the time, they definitely wanted to play a game with him and do these questions that had nothing to do with anything I really wanted to talk to him about. Like, this is a man. You only get 1 minute with him. I need to make it great. But it ended up turning out great. We started actually talking about the Bay Area. At first, he looked at me and he said, you're really going to ask me these questions? Are you really about to play a game with me? Like, he couldn't believe it. So then I threw the cards down, and I said, you know what? Forget it. Let's do it. And he started talking to me about where I'm from. His sister actually lived out in Oakland. We started talking about the the park out there, Lake Merritt, and everything else. And he was awesome after that. But I was really nervous because I knew going into it, this is not the person that he is. But again, it always comes back to, I have to do my job. They want to play this game. Let me attempt it. Once the attempt was failed, I threw the cards, kept it moving, and just did my thing with him. And it was fun. It ended up being great.
Nice. That's cool. Shoot, man. I'd be nervous if I was interviewing Denzel, too, man.
Especially if you're playing a game, and
yeah.
This man does not want to play games.
No time for that. Sib Skull is our guest. And Sib, we'll get you out of here on this. We appreciate you stealing a couple of minutes for us. But the Nation, Raider Nation, they're at a weird place right now. They're excited because we won on Sunday, but still, obviously, still 1-3, a big game on Sunday. What would you tell the Raiders fans out there to kind of calm them down and remind them there is still a lot of really good football to be played?
I think just touching on that, there is a lot of great football to be played. Again, 1-3, we needed that win, and with the Raiders, you know, sometimes getting in that fourth quarter, the second half, they start to look a little tired. I feel like now we look pumped. We look like the team that we're supposed to be. It, you know, another building situation this year is happening with Gruden coming back. But don't lose faith. There's always that turnaround period for us. I know the Chargers are at 500 right now. They're, 2-2, obviously. But they look good. If they just go out there, do what they did, and stay focused and just keep pushing it. There is no limit to what the Raiders can do. They just have to have the faith. The fans have to have the faith because they are really a part of that team. You hear how loud the stadium gets. When those fans are loud, the Raiders really come out and they show out, they do their thing. I think the Raiders take it this weekend. It'll be 2-3.
I like that. I couldn't have said it better myself. Sib Skulls is our guest this week on Upon Further Review. Sib, I appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll catch up with you down the road a little bit.
Yeah, thank you guys, and hopefully I'll see you at the game.
That's right. Come holler at us if you're there. All right. You guys know what time it is. Every week, victory formation. And even though we're coming off of a win, ironically, there's no victory formation. So we'll get one. I know we will. We'll get a victory formation. It'll be great. But you get a victory formation every week here on Upon Further Review. So we bring in our roundtable guest. You're familiar with him. A dramatic return to the pod last week. Very highly anticipated. And he's feeling a little under the weather once again. But that's fine. That's fine. Here he is, our man, our senior esports correspondent, our long-term financial planner, a man of many titles and of many things, the great Kyle Martin Media, a.k.a. Kyle's Feed.
How's it going, Eddie? It's always an honor to be back in victory formation.
Yes, yes. We're fired up, man. So before we get into it, let me ask you this serious question. Should we tease what you're doing this weekend to the good people out there, or do you want to keep it very secret?
I want to keep it under wraps, considering there's still some confirmation that needs to...
Okay.
He's agreed, but I don't know what his agenda looks like.
Okay, so that's a tease in and of itself.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, we've talked about it a little bit. Kyle's travel schedule is very second part of the season heavy. So Kyle starts traveling, I mean, essentially when we get back from London, right? I mean, you're going to obviously San Francisco and then our road trips after that. But since Kyle is not making the trip to L.A., he's got something cooking. He's got
up
something.
My sleeve, yeah.
He's got something cooking. He's got something up his sleeve, and so yeah, he wants to play it a little close to the vest, and I respect that because frankly, it's none of your business or my business what he does on his Sundays.
But it will be when it happens.
Yeah. So keep an eye out, Raiders.com next week. All I say is this: Kyle's going to watch the game and report the game, cover the game in a very interesting location. Is that fair, Kyle?
Yeah, from a different perspective.
Couldn't have said it better myself. A different perspective. So, Raider Nation, make sure you tune in next week. That's all you're getting for now. It's going to be pretty cool, though. So, that's that. Moving on. Another thing that I feel like we really need to get to off the top before we get into the rookie tackles, Derwin James, all that stuff. You recently made a very high-level purchase, a purchase that you've been talking about making for a while, but hadn't made,
mm-hmm.
But it arrived earlier this week.
It arrived much sooner than expected.
Yes, it certainly did. So why don't you explain to the people out there what you bought?
Well, Raider Nation, I had an epiphany, so to speak, at one point and earlier this season, and I thought, how can I change my game day look? How can I take my professionalism to another level? And the thing that I had to settle on was a briefcase. I've never owned a briefcase before, nor had I even had a desire to purchase a briefcase, but something struck me, and it's a great look. I mean, you don't see a lot of briefcases nowadays, but it started out as a joke in the studio, so to speak. You know, we were kind of throwing the idea out there. Maybe I'll get a briefcase. Kyle, I'll chip in. I'll chip in too. I'll support it. And now it's become one of the biggest talking points of our department.
Absolutely. And you've gotten a lot of positive feedback about the briefcase.
I have. I've received more positive than negative, for sure. And the negative had a positive tone to it, but there was a little negative backhand there.
There's non-believers everywhere.
Sure,
Kyle.
Of course.
You know that.
Of course. But, you know, I mean, they're a hater. They're jealous. They want the briefcase, but now it's my look, you know. I've copyrighted it. It's mine.
I have to say, seeing you walk into work, walk into the studio every morning with it's a beautiful briefcase.
Thank you.
A black leather, very classy. It's a businessman's briefcase.
Yeah, I'm not walking in on game day with a Money in the Bank WWE briefcase.
No, this is a
legit briefcase. It's got many things inside too, where it's able to hold my laptop, some chargers, my phone, some documents that are none of your business.
Oh.
Some notebooks, pens, pencils, you know. It's got everything I'm going to need to cover all things Raiders.
So I'm a backpack guy. I wear a backpack every day.
I appreciate the backpack.
Yeah. But as a briefcase man now, have you noticed any changes in how you carry yourself, how people respond to you?
A little more confidence, a little more swagger, more of a man, so to speak, you know, a man. But no, man, well, see, the thing is, too, is that all these times I've been walking in with, you know, kind of like a flimsy bag kind of thing with my laptop in. And,
sure.
You know, that's, I don't know, it just didn't inspire confidence. But now, we've taken it up a notch.
Producer T-Bone, would you ever be a briefcase man?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I was looking at that and thinking, I could maybe do that too, you know? But I think you really need the monogram initials on it.
I would say, yeah, I would agree with that.
That would really
I got to get it engraved for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's next level professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Right now you're at like an 8.75 professionalism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that the monogram takes you to clearly over a 9.
Sure. I appreciate that. Well, Trev, the fact that you, you know, would consider joining the club, by all means, feel free to hop on board.
I actually think I have one in the closet somewhere. I might have to break it out.
Dude, dust that sucker off, man. Yeah.
Now, Trev, in terms of if you were to wear rock a briefcase, my only, not concern, but you carry so much at all times.
Yeah.
Would it be able to fit in a briefcase?
As long as I can fit my laptop in there. Well, it's on the road. I could definitely not pull it off on the road
because
mostly during the week it's for show. Like I don't really have like a lot in my backpack that I need on a daily basis.
You feel
everything's
like
here.
You fall to peer pressure where it's like everyone else is walking in with a backpack, so
yeah,
I almost
it's like
need
I bring my laptop in just for backup in case, you know, like I need to use it.
Sure, that's why I have my briefcase. I have my laptop in there, but I never use it.
Yeah,
here.
There's really nothing in my backpack I need on a daily basis, but it's mostly for when we go on the road. I can put extra camera stuff in there that I couldn't fit.
I mean, when we travel, you look like you're gone for the long haul.
Oh yeah,
your backpack is about 85 pounds. What do you? I mean, I obviously know what you keep in there, but for the people who don't see our kind of operation behind the scenes, what are you rocking in that monster?
Well, let's see. I have my laptop, card readers. My rain gear is in there just in case. You never know. My gray sideline vest is on there. In there also.
Trev, you know what would be a good look for you? Now I'm just brainstorming. You know, you said you could potentially become a briefcase man. I've got all these thoughts flooding in my head. Trav strikes me with his new haircut. You know, he's got the slicked back hair.
Yeah, he's
hair.
Very hip. He's
yeah, very
hip.
Right hip. Now. With the briefcase, imagine slicked back Trav with a trench coat and briefcase in hand.
I mean, I do have a really nice, I think I was telling you about it, camel colored trench
that's
coat.
What I, that's
yeah,
literally
that's
what
gorgeous.
I'm envisioning right now. Yeah, that
that's
could be
gorgeous.
Your look, man. Grow out the beard a little bit more.
Oh man, so we'll see you. We travel Saturday, and travel, be there with his countless pounds of equipment and all that stuff. But we're headed to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
We're feeling good right now.
Yeah, we are, man.
We're riding high, brother.
1-3.
1-3. Obviously, a lot of work left to do.
Sure.
When you look at this Chargers team, and I think I know where you're going with this, Phillip Rivers is that dude. I mean, yes, he plays for a division rival, but, I mean, dude's a future Hall of Famer. Respect where respect is due, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at their defense, though, what kind of jumps out to you in terms of ways they can make life miserable for DC and company?
I honestly think the Chargers have an underrated defense. I mean, they've got Melvin Ingram. They've got Joey Bosa.
Who,
Joey Bosa, yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, prognosis undetermined as of now. He wasn't on yesterday's injury report. We'll have to see. But, sure. Yeah, question mark next to Bosa.
If that team's fully healthy, that's an underrated defense. Joey Bosa, back-to-back 10-plus sack seasons in his first 2 years in the league. Melvin Ingram's been known to tear it up out there also. Casey Hayward, they get the support in the secondary. And now, you know where I'm going with this.
I do. Tell the people.
They've got Derwin James. They've got a bona fide stud back there at the safety position. And Colton Miller has been fantastic.
He's really held his own. Big shout out to Colton. I think we can collectively agree, kind of our underappreciated guy through four games.
That's kind of just his demeanor, though. Yeah, he's very humble, very quiet, goes about his business.
Soft-spoken dude. Yeah. You know, definitely
You love that.
Absolutely.
And he's gone up against some of the best pass rushers in the NFL so far in four games at the left tackle position. So kudos to him. I'm happy he's on our team. But entering the draft, you know, I did a lot of research.
You are a senior draft analyst.
I was deep in the books. And Derwin James, as you know, was the guy that I had on my big board.
Yeah.
He was the one that I wanted. I really thought he could have helped us back there. And now he's doing good things in Los Angeles, unfortunately. I wish he could have gone to any other team outside of the AFC West. But, yeah, man, he's leading the team in sacks. He's leading the team in tackles. And he's tied for the most interceptions on that squad.
Yeah. I mean, plain and simple, dude's balling out, right?
Yep.
Had a really, really nice start to his rookie campaign down in L.A. And, yeah, I mean, you got to figure out a way to keep him neutralized. I mean, you know, safeties like that who can blitz, who are good in coverage, there's not a lot of them.
No.
And when you have the guys like that, they just, you know, by nature, just create a ton of problems. So, yeah, keeping that dude, out of our harms, out of our way, really, is going to be, I think, one of the big challenges on Sunday. And, you know, we talked about Colton just a second ago about how solid he's been, really quietly, just gone about his business, you know, the guy's been good. He's been really, really good. Now, with our guy Don Penn thrown on IR earlier this week, sounds like Brandon Parker's going to be the guy at right tackle. So you've got this beast offensive line now bookended by two rookies.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, especially if Bosa comes back, too.
Yeah.
If Bosa's healthy, and who knows? I mean, he said like a week and a half ago, I might not come back until the bye week. But then Gruden on Monday said, we might anticipate his return. So if he comes back, that's going to be another good test for a pair of rookie tackles, like you said. Not just neutralizing Derwin James, but Ingram in the middle. They've got Bosa if he comes off the edge. I mean, it's just going to be a well-fought-out game. It's a division battle. You know, they're always a little bit different than regular non-divisional games. But we'll see, man. I think Brandon Parker did a nice job in stepping in for Donald when he got hurt last week against the Browns, and I've got high hopes for him.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a great point yesterday, one that I really hadn't thought of too much when you were saying that, yeah, you got the two rookies on the outside. I mean, he's got four games, but Colton's still a rookie, right? Brandon Parker likely going to make his first start on the right side, but you brought up a great point that, like, they having the interior line that we have is going to be so beneficial for those dudes, Parker in particular. I mean, Rod Hudson is playing out of his mind again.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe Jackson has been super solid. Same with KO. But, you know, for them to have those resources, and especially, like, when things are crazy during the game, for Parker to be able to look to his left and see Gabe, and for Miller to look to his right and see KO, and to have Big Rod kind of keeping the whole thing together. I mean, that's a huge plus that I don't think a lot of people are talking about enough.
No, not at all. And Brandon Parker, he said earlier this week when the media talked to him in his locker, he said he gave props to Rodney Hudson. He's like, kudos to him, man, because I stepped in. He was so clear about pointing out all the things that I needed to pick up, as well as the other offensive linemen. He read every single read that Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator of the Browns, was throwing at them. Rodney Hudson, Derek also said this too. He said, Rodney Hudson is arguably the best football player I've ever played with. He said, I know that's hard to say because he's a center, but when you have a man that has that pedigree in the middle of the offensive line, one of the most important places a player can, you know, line up, that's essential. That's crucial. And especially, like we're saying, for young guys like Colton and Brandon Parker, to have someone with his veteran leadership and knowledge of the game helping them out, that's going to go a long way.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it, you know, just kind of amongst ourselves a little bit, where, you know, I admittedly am a little biased as a big fan of the big fellas up front and special teams. But, you know, I really do think that when all is said and done and 20 years from now we're getting together to drink beers for our annual deal, I think that a couple of these guys in the offensive line are going to be Hall of Famers. I really do, bottom of my heart.
I agree. I think it's criminal that Rodney Hudson's never been an All-Pro.
Well, I think it's criminal that Gabe Jackson's never gone to a Pro Bowl.
Again,
I mean, that's criminal.
Yeah, I mean, no shots at the league here, but they're turning a blind eye. They got three very talented interior offensive linemen, and two of them aren't getting the credit that they're due. KO is obviously a Super Bowl champion. Everyone knows he's a stud, but maybe that, you know, kind of.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, I think we talk about it every year, right, where it's you look at those three guys in the middle and, yeah, it's they don't get their due. They
no.
certainly don't. Even with all the accolades and the great things and all the praise that KO gets heaped upon him, I even think that's not enough.
Yeah.
I really don't. And with Rod and with Gabe and, you know, big shout out to Tom Cable for keeping that train of the big fellas rolling. But, yeah, man, we got to give them their love. Jared Cook feasting again, Kyle. Another leading the team in yards still. Another two touchdowns against the Browns last week. I mean, at this point, what more can you ask of number 87?
I was doing some research the other day, and Jared Cook is on pace to have his best statistical season of his career thus far. I mean, the rate that he's going at in yards, receptions, touchdowns will all be career highs if he stays on the same course. He's, like you said, you can't ask anything else of the man. Whenever Derek Carr needs someone to make a play, he's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, Cook's really become that kind of third down, and I mean this with all due respect, that kind of safety blanket, right, where things are getting crazy and we need 8 yards on 3rd and 7. I mean, it seemed anyways in the early goings that nine times out of ten he's going to Cook.
Yeah, and I mean, when you watch Derek sometimes make a throw to Cook and you're like, oh boy, I don't know how Derek's going to fit that in there. Cook somehow manages to extend to make it, just holds on with those tight hands. He's able to definitely extend Derek's rope a little bit.
And then a genuine question, because I haven't full transparency, done enough research on this. Either T-Bone or Kyle, have either of you guys noticed Jared Cook drop a ball this year? Or am I just...
That's tough.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, I mean, nothing's coming to mind. I mean, because you think about the catches that he makes, you know?
Always contested, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Always in traffic, like...
So a defender draped all over him, and he still comes away with it. So I don't know. I don't think... There's not one thing that comes to mind where it's like, oh, yeah, that was a clear drop.
Yeah, no. I mean, in terms of guys that are just bawling out and kind of, you know, likely not getting their due, the Beast.
Yeah.
Mamma Mia Pizzeria. The Beast is on one right now. What did he went for 20 and 130 against the Browns last week?
Monster.
Over 100 in the second half?
Yeah.
I mean, this team was down 28-14 in the third. I mean, things were not looking very very sunny and shiny, but I mean, I feel, and granted, this is just kind of watching the game and watching it back, that it feels like Marshawn kind of just put that offense on his back for a little bit there.
Sure.
Until they could kind of get everything, get the wheels turning again, get the wheels and the axles greased and get rocking and rolling like they did, you know, for that fourth quarter and obviously overtime. But man, I mean, we were talking with Townie the other day about it, and I think at this point, we just got to kind of just appreciate what we're seeing with the Beast. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, this dude's 32 years old. He's number 4 in the league in rushing. The other three guys that are ahead of him, who are all in spitting distance, by the way, much younger than him. I think my guy Kamara is, what, 9 years younger than Marshawn? I mean, they don't make guys like that very often. And, you know, we've talked about it a bunch. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen a player play football the way that Marshawn Lynch does.
No, and to your point about how he's in the same realm as guys like Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, guys who are just balling out, right, that are the face of the league now, so to speak. Jared Cook is also ahead of Odell Beckham Jr., A.J. Green, Stephon Diggs, and a lot of other guys that are supposedly, you know, the best wide receivers in the NFL, and he's, you know, at least 4 or 5 spots ahead of them. He's the 10th leading receiver in the NFL right now.
What a stat, by the way. Look at you coming and doing your homework.
Well, I just think, man, it's like everyone wants to make this big deal about how the Raiders have a bunch of veterans on the squad, but then here they are competing with some of the youngest and biggest faces of the NFL right now. So it's like you want to make all this hoopla about how, oh, the Raiders have, you know, some players that aren't as young as guys like Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, all these dudes, but they're in the same realm as them, and they're outperforming other dudes that are getting way more credit.
Yeah. No, dude, I'm with you 100%. I mean, I think that the way that this roster is built, right, it's that, you know, you have your young guys, your core of young dudes who you know are going to be on this team for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years if everything goes to plan, but you have those vets, those guys who kind of need to bridge that gap. And it's not even bridging the gap. It's just performing. It's doing what they need to do on Sundays while also bringing up the young guys. You know what I mean? Like, I think Marshawn's a perfect example of that, right? Or Cook, too. I mean, it's guys that likely don't have another 15 years in the league in them, but it's guys that are still playing football at a very, very, very high level. So I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. Give them their love.
Yeah. I mean, what else needs to be said? They're balling out. They're killing the game. What else, man? They're doing what's asked of them. Like you said, you hit it on the head. I got nothing else to add because we've said everything we need to say. They're doing what they need to do and more.
Way to wrap it up. Kyle Martin Media has put the kibosh on this episode. He's done. We're done. We've had a great time, though. It's been a good episode. Sunday kickoff, week 5, against the mighty Los Angeles Chargers at StubHub Center. Kickoff is 1:05, so make sure you're tuned in, you're watching. Also, we're going to pub it again. Make sure you keep an eye out for Kyle's mystery piece coming out next week. You know, that's all we'll say. Nothing more needs to be said.
Yeah, nothing more, nothing less.
Nothing more, nothing less. All right. So, Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, engineer Jim, KMM, our usual Victory Formation guest. That's it. That's all we got. Come hang out with us next week, and hopefully, actually, you know, I will say, Trav, before we officially wrap it up, our London episode next week.
Yes.
The London episode. So we got some good guests coming up. Obviously, a lot of international flavor. We're going to be talking all things London. Hopefully, another Raiders win. It's going to be a lot of fun, very exciting. It's going to be a fun trip, and we'll get into it all next week. But that's next week. Let's take care of business Sunday, and we'll catch you next week on Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.